to welcome everybody to River Valley this weekend as we are wrapping up week four of our series entitled Perfect Work. And if you're watching online at all the campuses of River Valley Church, we are so glad that you join us. This series has been great so far, hasn't it? I mean, it has been so good. Every weekend's been fantastic, been challenging, been stretching. And if you missed any of the weekends, I encourage you to go online, watch it. I know it will be a blessing to you. And one of the things we do, and because it's been happening in this series, is we celebrate changed lives. How many know that at River Valley? We celebrate God changing lives. And just last weekend in our weekend services and Chick Night, we just got to celebrate this for a moment here at our church this weekend. Just last weekend, 228 people made commitments to give their life to Jesus Christ. Come on. Yeah, we got to celebrate that. Seriously. Isn't that good? Oh, just love it. I love how the series and the messages and God and His Spirit are just stretching us and taking new people and visitors and those of us that have been around a while, just taking us to new places and challenging us to go after God's best. And I just love that. I don't know about you, but growing up, I grew up here in the Twin Cities area. And as a young boy, I was into a lot of sports, loved sports, played a lot of different sports when I was little. And then how many know as you get into later elementary and junior high age, you got to kind of specialize. When you're in third grade, you can play like 18 sports, but when you get to junior high, seriously, you got to kind of decide for your parents' sake, all that kind of stuff. What are you going to do? And I remember I kind of keyed in on football and basketball. Those were my two sports. And I remember kind of right at the beginning of every season, you'd go and meet your coach and you'd have that first team meeting, that first practice, and you'd have different coaches, different personalities, different styles. But I want you to know, I loved my coaches. The coaches I had that would open the season up and begin that first practice, that first team meeting, and they'd say to us things like, this team is going to be excellent. This team, we are going to learn to win. We are going to give it our best. We're going to go for the best, and we're, with everything within us, we're going to learn to be winners. I mean, I love that because I like to win, right? Anybody else just a little competitive like I am? But I just, seriously, I love to win, and I just, it got so exciting. Now, I knew that those kind of coaches, that meant tough practices were ahead, right? I knew there was a lot of work ahead, but I just didn't care because I wanted to win, wanted to achieve great things. I want you to know about this series, Perfect Work. I love, love, love that our church, River Valley, challenges us to go after God's best. Don't you love that about our church? I do. I love it. We're not just a church that's about the average or checking the religious box or just doing the minimum, are we? We're all in this journey together and we're saying, God, you have called us to do big, great, exciting things, and we don't want to settle for less than God's best. So I love that that's Pastor Rob's heart. That's the vision of our church. And we're moving forward saying, Lord, do your perfect work in our lives. And so John chapter 14, it's just such a cool scripture. Jesus is speaking in verse 12. And imagine he's talking to us because he's talking to his followers, his disciples. And he makes this statement about what he sees them accomplishing. And he says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. I mean, come on, that verse is inspiring, isn't it? I mean, literally, it's Jesus is saying, you and I have the potential, have the opportunity to do the same kind of works Jesus did. And then he kind of totally blows my mind. He says, by the way, you have the potential to do even greater things because I'm going to the Father and I'm going to have your back and I'm going to be praying for you. And I'm just in the natural. That just kind of blows my mind. I can't figure that out. But here's what I know because it's in Scripture. Here's what I'm reminded of. Jesus sees such amazing potential in each and every one of us. Each and every one of his kids. I want you to know that this weekend. Jesus sees amazing potential for kingdom impact in your life. And so even though we may not be there yet, he speaks that into our life and says, I want you to know that I could see you, not in yourself, but with me in your life, Jesus, in our lives, incredible, incredible things can take place. Our theme verse for this series, we've heard it almost every week, has been James chapter 1 and verse 4. You've been talking about it in your Perfect Work life groups. It's been in your study guides. But let's look at it together. James chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I want to read it twice here. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I want you to know, since week one of this series, that word perfect has just been stirring around inside of me. It's just been grabbing my heart. It's been challenging me. It's just so amazing just looking at that God's word says that our faith can be fully developed and can really become perfect. And I've been saying, God, what does perfection look like to you? And what does perfection mean to you? And so I've just been wrestling with it and looking at it and thinking about it. I want to throw the definition up on all our screens this weekend. And just so we can see the definition of perfect. It's incredible. It says having all the required or desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as it is possible to be. That's an incredible statement, isn't it? Sometimes you look at it and it almost looks unattainable, doesn't it? Wow, can I really in my faith journey rise to that level? So again, thinking about perfects for the last few weeks, and it's been stirring around inside of me and getting ready for week four, this weekend's message. When something's like that is processing through my life and my mind and my heart, I study and I research and I look at it. I say, God, what does this whole thing perfect really mean? And is it really attainable? And so I start to do research and even look at how infrequent is it that people ever get to perfection? And so I got a little trivia for us this weekend, and I couldn't look at everything, so I looked at something I love. I looked at the world of sports, okay? And so we're going to look at just a couple things, a little trivia about attaining perfection and how attainable is it really. So first one I want to look at really quick, Major League Baseball. Not everybody follows it, but everybody knows about it. Major League Baseball, 135 years in existence here in the U.S. 135 years of Major League Baseball. There's something called the perfect game. And in Major League Baseball, you can have a perfect game when the pitcher pitches a no-hitter, no runs, nobody gets on base, no walks, and pitches all the innings of the game. It's called a perfect game. And in 135 years, there's been over 300,000 baseball games played. Do you know how many perfect games there's been? 23. 23. And I don't think any of them were the Twins. But anyways, 23. Seriously. 23 out of 300,000 plus games. One more sport. It's Super Bowl weekend. We got to look at football really quick, all right? So in the NFL began in 1920, and a perfect season in the NFL is starting the regular season, going through it, the playoffs, and winning the Super Bowl undefeated. Okay, it doesn't affect preseason. Regular season, playoff, Super Bowl, you're undefeated. Since 1920, when the NFL began, do you know how many teams there has been that have had a perfect season? And the answer is one. One team. And it wasn't the Vikings. One team. And it wasn't the Packers, okay? It wasn't you either. 1972 Dolphins. All right, one more trivia question. Do you know how many perfect wives there are out there? One. My wife, Jane. All right? Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Is she smiling right now? I don't know. I hope so. How many perfect husbands? Zero. Okay, we all know that. It's just so true, isn't it? And I thought most of us, when we think about perfection, like never have had a flaw, and I don't think that's what God's saying. I'm like, most of us don't know perfection that way. But I thought most of us have experienced what I would call close to perfect, or something that feels perfect in our lives. And so I wrote down a few of them, and I want you to even think about some in your own life where you've had moments, God moments, personal moments, that felt almost perfect. I wrote a couple of them down here. I hope if you're married, your wedding day was almost perfect. I hope it felt perfect. I hope it was amazing. I mean, I know mine was. It was just so incredible. I can remember all the details about our wedding day. Jane and I have been married 26 years now. I was 18. She was 13. It's seriously, but not quite. I was a little older, but seriously, I mean, it was a culmination. Sorry, I'm getting a little too funny here. It was a culmination of God, just his will being done, and I felt so blessed, and it was almost perfect. Another almost perfect moment happened about 15 years ago when Jane and I saw our first sunset sitting on the beach in Hawaii looking over the Pacific Ocean. And, you know, we don't get that very often in Minnesota, and so doing that was just, I mean, it felt almost perfect. And how many notice that sometimes those perfect moments usually have somebody you really care about in your life? When you have those moments, and hopefully some of them are with God. But it's just incredible. If you're a parent, your child's birth, it's almost perfect, isn't it? I mean, it should be. We have three girls, amazing girls. Everyone has just been such a miracle when that child is born. And you feel that right away, that miracle. Then comes fear and other things. But anyways, seriously, it's there. It's just incredible. For me, in the summertime, fireworks on a clear night. Love it, love it, love it. Love sitting, I love laying underneath them. It's amazing. If you are a Christian, some of you might have experienced this. I've experienced it numerous times. When you have the opportunity to pray with somebody to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it feels perfect. It does. And I hope all of us get a chance to do that at some point. Where you have a chance to pray with somebody, a child, a young person, an adult, and they come and they're like, I'm ready. I want to cross the line of faith. I want to commit my heart to Jesus. And you get to pray with them to see their eternity changed. It's such an almost, or really feels like, a perfect moment. So when I've been wrestling this and thinking about this, I want to share this statement because it's so true and I think kind of speaks to God's heart for perfection and what he's asking us to do in perfect work. Here's what I wrote it down. We may often be and act like less than God's best, but we're never going to settle for less than God's best. See, we may, all of us, let me say it again, we may often act or be less than God's best, but we're never going to settle for less than God's best. Even though there's gaps, even though there's disconnects, even though we look at our lives and say, I'm not fully there yet, that's obvious, and we all feel that at times. But this idea, this passion that Jesus put before us is that we're never going to settle for less than God's best, right? We're going to press on and say, God, I know I'm not there yet, but I want to become everything you've called me to be. So 2 Corinthians 13:5 is a theme verse for this weekend, week four. If you're in a Perfect Work life group, you'll study this. It's in your study guide, and it's the Apostle Paul. It's a great scripture, so let's look at it together. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, watch the scripture, unless, of course, you fail the test. The scripture has an interesting and unique context to it. The Apostle Paul kind of gathers a group of people that says, all of you say you're Christ followers. But he says, dial in with me here. Does your life really show that? Are you really acting like Jesus Christ has changed your life? Do people notice that Jesus Christ has changed your life? And better yet, examine, take a look in the mirror, and do you see that your life is dramatically different and that you're being obedient and it really shows up that you are living life as a Christ follower? And it says, examine it. There's something kind of unique about this verse because I want you to notice the Apostle Paul didn't say, search your heart and see if you feel good about your faith. It's not one of those feeling verses. It's not. There's other verses like that, and we love those feeling verses. This verse says, examine and test. So it's all about examining and kind of assessing where we're at in our journey. So I want to give you some application things that apply to all of us and kind of about examining our own lives. And by the way, this list that I'm going to share with you, these examine thoughts, are not for other people. They're for you. Okay? As we walk through them, don't be thinking about how much your spouse needs this or how much your kids need this or somebody at work needs this. This is for each of us individually. And I just believe it's great application. So they'll be on the screen. A lot of people have been jotting these down. You might want to grab something really quick to be ready to do that. First thought is this: Lord, examine my key relationships. Examine my key relationships. We all have them in our family, coworkers, school, loved ones, whatever it might be in our church family. The key relationships of our lives. Lord, are you honored in those relationships? Just examine them. The key relationships. Examine my thought life. Lord, examine my thought life. The things that I dwell on for a long time, are there some things I need to kick out of there and let them go? As scripture says, are there some thoughts I need to bring captive to make them obedient to Christ? Are the things I'm dwelling on, because we all face moments, but is there anything in my thought life, God, that's not honoring to you and I just need to kick it out? Lord, examine my intentions or my motives. Lord, examine my intentions. This is kind of unique because our intentions and our motives are unique where for me, only me and God knows what they are. For you, only you and God knows what they are. So they're kind of secret, yet God says we'll be held accountable for them. So Lord, why do I do what I do in Christianity, for the ones I love, in my faith journey. Lord, examine my intentions. Another one is examine my finances. This doesn't matter where you're at in your finances, high, low, medium, doesn't matter. Just, Lord, examine them. Examine them. And when I look at my finances, here's what I would ask us. What do they proclaim as priority? What do they proclaim as priority? Not what do my words say. When I look at my finances, what are the top three or four things that jump out at me and they proclaim as priority? Examine my forgiveness. Man, I'm just wrestling with these along with all of us this weekend. Examine my forgiveness. And I would say about this, the forgiveness I need to receive for anything in my life, but also the forgiveness I need to give away to others. If there's something I'm holding on to, is there a bitterness and unforgiveness thing? I need to let go of that thing. And I just say, God, examine my forgiveness. Two more, examine my purity. Examine my purity. This is kind of sometimes a little awkward or sensitive to talk about, but how many of us know how important our moral purity is? And Lord, examine it. Is there anything I'm watching, listening to, any sites I'm on, anything that's in my life, anything I'm doing in private that I think nobody knows but God, you and I know, that's not right with you? Examine my purity. And can I tell you on this one, this point isn't just for the young people. This point is for children, young people, adults, single, married, all ages. All of us, God, examine my purity. And the last one is this, examine my passions, my interests. Examine my passions and my interests. And track with me on this one because I'm an individual, I love a lot of things. I love my family, I love my wife, love my kids, love to travel, I love skiing, I love the mountains, I love sports. There's a lot of different things I love. But does kingdom stuff excite me the most? So it's not about having other interests and fun things in my life, things I like to do. God's all good with that. But does the kingdom things, God things, rank the highest? Make sense? So Lord, just examine me in that because I want that to be right. My example there is in early January, Pastor Rob taught and spoke the annual vision message for our church, first weekend of January. And I loved hearing and watching and being part of that message because I loved hearing the difference our church was going to make in 2014. I love the vision that came out for the kingdom. And I also love that it was bigger than us. Did you love that? I mean, it's bigger than us, that we couldn't accomplish it on our own. We needed God to show up in a big way, right? And I just loved that so much. So Lord, examine my passions and my interests. A practical application we're going to give you in this last weekend. It's been part of this series and part of Perfect Work Life Groups. Is something that we call Health Strength Vision Assessment. And it'll be up on the screen. It's something our church has created, Health Strength Vision Assessment. It's for everybody to take. We'll leave it up there for a second because after every service, people are like, what is that again? I want to do that. Health Strength Vision Assessment. It's a personal assessment for you to take. It's private just to see your gifts, your strengths, your experiences, kind of your journey and walk through that. Then it will give you kind of application steps and even some guidance, some resources to keep all of us growing towards the perfect work that God wants to create in each and every one of us. So Health Strength Vision, that would be an incredible tool for each and every one of us. We're about to read a few passages of scripture, a few verses that I need to set it up this way and just say, they're super humbling to me. They're super humbling. I don't have it all figured out. I'm in the process with all of us this weekend because these verses are really challenging. How many know whenever you're learning and God is teaching you something new and taking you to a new place, it can be difficult at times, right? Sometimes you feel like a rookie and you're not really ready for it. I mean, we just finished 21 days this weekend. We finished 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church. And I've gotten a little bit better at it, but I remembered just last week the first time I tried to fast. I had never done it before. I was in Bible college, true story. Our pastor called for a 3-day fast, not 21 days, 3 days. And I thought, I'm obedient, I'm in there, yes, sir, I'm going to do it. And the fast was nothing but liquids for 3 days. So I started day one, never fasted before. All I drank was water. 6 hours in, I'm ready to die. No, seriously, I am not joking. I am ready to die. I don't want to do this. 6 hours in, I'm flipping through the New Testament trying to find where it says I doesn't have to fast anymore. And then I found Jesus fasted like 40 days. I slammed my Bible. You know, so I was wrestling. I hadn't eaten. I was angry and stuff. Then I ran into some friends that were fasting as well in the hallway, and they got like milkshakes and smoothies. And I'm like, seriously, what are you doing? I'm drinking water. And they're like, the key is liquid, Darren, liquid. And I'm like, oh, the secret was, see, I didn't know. The secret was liquid. So then the next 2 days, I had the thickest smoothies you've ever seen. I'm serious. We almost blended up pizza and put it just, you know. But how far we get to grow, right? When you, sometimes God asks you to do something, and you're like, I can't do that. I know I sound pretty lame, but it's true. It happened. And I just think sometimes we read verses like we're about to read, and we're about to see the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians say, here's some things, guys, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a Christ follower, these should be in your life, and everybody should notice it. So we're going to read this, and you might see some gaps, some places that you're like, wow, I need some help. And that's what I mean by they're humbling to read, because these are supposed to be in our life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions, they've nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross, crucified and left them there. Wow. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let me read that list of fruit one more time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then he wraps up in verse 25 and says, follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of your life. That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? In week one of Perfect Work of this series, Pastor Rob taught, and he was talking about growing in spiritual maturity and what it really looks like. And he was, if you remember, he was saying that to be spiritual mature isn't just about knowing the Greek and the Hebrew and having more information. And he made this statement that just jumped out at me, and I wrote it down. He said this, that spiritual maturity is measured by greater obedience. Spiritual maturity is measured by greater obedience. So let me ask you this question this weekend as we wrap up this series. All campuses, everyone watching online, everybody that's part of River Valley Church, let me ask you this question. Are there any obedience gaps in your life? Are there any obedience gaps in your life where you know what God has asked you to do and you know what you're not doing now, and this here is the obedience gap? And you say, you know what? I want this series to make a difference in my life. I don't want to keep dealing with this gap for 10 more weeks or 2 more years. I want to settle it this weekend and say, God, I want to close the gap. And God's not going to come down here. I'm going to come up here. And we're going to close that obedience gap. And as we wrap up the message, we're going to take a few moments. And we're going to pray and make that a matter of prayer of, God, I want to close up the obedience gaps in my life. I just believe it's going to be a cool God moment at the end of this message. Most of us know that as we walk out God's journey in our lives and strive to be all that God has called us to be, how many know we need help? We need resources. We need people around us supporting us, all that kind of stuff. We're going to share with you this weekend what I believe is the single most effective resource, the single most effective resource to help us go to the next level in our faith journey and let God do his perfect work in us, the single most. Let's watch this video together.
Here at River Valley, what we call our daily Bible reading is SOAP.
What it is a step-by-step intentional process to engage with the Word of God every day.
Scripture, observation, application, and prayer.
You read the Scripture, you make an observation about what it is that you've read, you think of an application that could be part of your life for that day or in the future, and then you pray about that.
And so SOAP is just getting us into the Word and spending time with God daily.
To me, Scripture is God telling us who He is.
Sometimes I read the Bible early in the morning before people wake up.
So often when I'm doing my SOAP, it's exactly what I need to hear that day.
It's so important to me because I have 2 young children at home. I think the implications of my personal Bible reading time can really affect them in a big way.
It's important to memorize the Bible because Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
One of the fundamental things we believe is that God reveals himself through the Bible, through his word. And so if you want to know about God, you have to read the Bible.
The fact that this was written thousands and thousands of years ago, but how relevant it is in my life and how encouraging it always is every time I read God's Word.
There's a passage in Hebrews that says that the land that gets more nutrients and water on it is more productive. I think that we are like the soil, and that the more Bible reading we do and the praying that we do, the more productive we are for Jesus.
When I started SOAP, I feel like it brought my relationship with God to a whole new level.
That's so good. A month or so ago, Jane and I had the opportunity to lead our global team that went to Rome and Greece, and we saw some of the most amazing religious biblical sites, and where the Apostle Paul and Peter ministered and walked in incredible places across Greece. And then we spent time in Rome and saw these amazing religious places of the Sistine Chapel and the Vatican and St. Peter's Basilica. And I mean, you go in those places, it's religious, it's reverent, it's people are kind of quiet and respectful. And God dropped a thought in my heart when we were there. And it was simply this. He said, Darren, religious people respect the Bible. Committed Christ followers love the Bible. And I thought, God, I want to be a committed Christ follower. I don't want to just respect the Bible. I want to love it. I want it to make a difference in my life. I want it to be what you want it to be in my life. And that is something that makes an incredible, incredible difference. If you were driving down the highway in Florida, and it was season when all the citrus fruit was blooming, and you'd see on the side of the highway grapefruit trees and lemon trees and orange trees, and I remember seeing this one night a number of years ago, and if it was late at night and there's a frost warning, you could look off the highway about 150 yards and you'd see this bright amber glow. You wouldn't know what it is because it'd be new to you, but there's bright amber glow, and it's bright, and it's about 150 yards, and it's at the other side of this field, and you're wondering, what is that? What is that bright amber glow out in this field? And if you were to stop and look across and take a really close look, you'd notice that there's these huge propane burners at the end of the field with fans surrounding them, blowing this heat across all the citrus crops on this night that there's a freeze warning, a frost warning in effect. And so what is that bright amber glow? It's simply citrus farmers trying to protect their fruit. And I was just reminded, I hadn't thought of that in about 10 years. And I was reminded this week and thought, Lord, what are we willing to do to protect the fruit, the perfect work of God in our lives? What are we willing to do? Are we willing to get up late at night? Are we willing to set up those burners? Are we willing to make some effort to say, God, I want to protect this precious value that I have in the work that you're doing in my life? What are we willing to do to say, God, I'm going to step out and I'm going to protect it because you're doing a great work in my life? So this weekend, for all of River Valley Church, everyone that calls our church home, I have a challenge I want to share with you, and it's a wrap up to this series. It's a takeaway, it's an action step, and we're going to ask all of you to do it. And it's simply this. I'm going to ask you to take the 14-day soap challenge. The 14-day soap challenge. We just saw it in that video, and I'm going to ask you to take the challenge. For the next 14 days, you're going to go all in, and you're going to say, I'm going to do soap. And we're going to hand you cards when you leave the auditorium that have soap on it, have every scripture listed on the back. And the next 14 days, you'd say, I'm in. I'll do it. I'll take 15, 20 minutes. And I'll give this time for scripture observation, application, and prayer. And I'll do it. Maybe I've struggled before, because a lot of us have, in trying to establish a devotion life. And some of you are like, well, I do soap all the time. And I'm so glad that you're doing it. And you'll do it with us. But for a lot of us, it'll be a new step, because we've tried it a few days here or there and it just hasn't stuck. But I'm going to ask you for the next 14 days, every child, every young person, every adult, to step up and say, I'm in, I'll do it, no excuses, I'm going for it. Sign me up. I can give it to God. I'm going to do it, I'm going to step up, because I want God's perfect work to be accomplished in my life. And like we saw in that video, I believe it will take our faith to the next level. I really do. And church, can you imagine the unity and the potential impact of 6,000 people praying and reading the same scripture for the next 2 weeks? I mean, can you imagine the unity and what God's going to do in the supernatural in the life of our church? The potential is so incredible. But it also has incredible potential for you and your relationship with Christ. So for the next 14 days, don't settle for less than God's best. Give Him these 14 days and let's see what new habits are formed. Let's see how our faith is fueled to go to the next level and how we see all of a sudden this perfect work doesn't feel unattainable. We see God taking us to that next level and becoming everything God has called us to be. And even though we're not perfect in ourselves because of what God is doing in our life, we're growing and we're never settling for less than God's best. So let's do it. Let's be faithful. Let's go all in and say, yes, Lord, I want you to accomplish your perfect work in my life. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be a part of this series. Speak to our lives, speak to our hearts. Every one of us in this weekend service, we take just a moment and say, God, point out the obedience gaps in our lives. We want to settle that right now. If we're honest, a lot of us don't even need to ask you to point it out because we know what it is. We know what you've called us to do and we just haven't stepped in and said yes. But Lord, we want to close that gap. We want to settle that issue. We want to be obedient to you. We want to invite you to examine, to test, to walk us through, to assess. And Lord, we want you to do that. We can trust you to do that because we, even though it may be challenging at times, we know you love us with an amazing love. And we know that you see incredible potential in our lives. So that's why we can confidently invite you in and say, yes, I'm in. God, examine me, search me. And Lord, the next 14 days, I'm in. I'm doing it. I can step up to the soap challenge and I can give you that 15 or 20 minutes and I won't miss a day. I'm going for it, God. And we thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, God, for how much you love us and what you're doing in each and every one of our lives. And again, our prayer is, let your perfect work be accomplished and let our faith be developed so that we can be everything you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen.